Friends, if you'll remain standing and put your hand on a Bible, turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4. Matthew's Gospel, the first Gospel, the first book of your New Testament, Matthew chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. We'll remain standing as we honor God's Word together this morning. Matthew chapter 1, or chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry, and the tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." That's a good place to pause, so let's pray together. If it's good enough for Jesus, Father, it's good enough for me. I cannot live by bread alone, but I want to live. I need to live by every word that comes from your mouth. So open today my heart, our hearts, that we could receive that living word who is Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can take a seat, friends. You all know that moment when you are driving. It doesn't matter fast or slow when you're driving, and suddenly the red light comes on, or the yellow light. One of those warning light comes on. Maybe it's the check engine light. Maybe it's the oil pressure light or a battery light, fuel warning. And for a second you think, this was like working 5 minutes ago, and now it's going crazy. You know that that little light is telling you that something deeper is happening, something you hadn't noticed is happening under the hood or around the tires. Wilderness works like that in our lives. When circumstances take a hard left turn, something we didn't anticipate or can't control, the wilderness works like that in our own lives. And when pressure hits, when trouble hits, it reveals what's really going on inside our hearts and our minds. Pressure reveals what we really trust. That's exactly what happens to Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. The wilderness, it reveals what you're really living on. Jesus says we can't live by bread alone. We live by every word that comes from God. And it's true for him and it's true for you. The wilderness reveals what you're really living on. Matthew 4, 1, if you still have it open. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Hear that clearly. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Wilderness is not accidental. Wilderness is not accidental. I'm not telling you that God causes the circumstances that go sideways in your life. But I will tell you this, the Spirit has purpose for you when you find yourself in those circumstances. Jesus didn't wander into the wilderness by mistake. The Spirit led him there. And I think this one sentence can do something for you. It can reframe the way we approach suffering and hardship in our lives. The wilderness is never punishment from God or by God. The wilderness is not about abandonment by God. He's not wanting to leave you alone. But the wilderness, y'all, is a place where God is ready to step in and form you and shape you into something brand new. Wilderness, hear it again. Wilderness is not punishment from God or abandonment by God. But wilderness is always an invitation to be formed by God. The wilderness is where God proves that His Word is truer and stronger than our circumstances. Jesus' wilderness revealed what he lived on. That's why that verse was so keen in his mind. Jesus' wilderness revealed that he lived on every word that came from the mouth of God. Make no mistake, there is much in the wilderness that is out to destroy you. There is much in the wilderness that is out to destroy you. Those are the things, the people, the situations that are not from God. But there are things in the wilderness that are out to destroy you. But there is also in the wilderness a space, an invitation from God to discover what is really sustaining you. Look at this first test. We don't even have to go through all three. There are three temptations in just a matter of 11 verses at the beginning of this, but we really only have to hone in on this one. Matthew 4, 3. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." If. You see that, right? That's the key word here. The devil doesn't begin with the bread. The devil doesn't begin with the false reward. The devil just wants to begin with enough doubt. He wants to plant the seed of doubt in your mind. If you are the Son of God. Remember this, we're only a few verses from Jesus hearing a different word, a defining word. Jesus presented himself before his first cousin, John the Baptist, at the Jordan River. Jesus went into the water, and as he comes out of the water in baptism, he hears the voice of the Father saying, "What? This is my beloved Son." He already had that spoken. That word, I would think, would be echoing in his ears and in his heart still. Three verses earlier, God says, "This is my beloved Son." And now the tempter, the devil, has the gall to come up and say, "If you are the Son of God." I tell you, friends, the devil, there's nothing off limits for him. He will test and try and poke and prod everywhere he can get his wicked fingers. If you are the Son of God. That's true for Jesus. Temptation begins with trying to have him doubt his identity, the identity he just heard spoken by his Father. Every temptation begins with an invitation to question who you really are in the world. We said it last week. Jesus needed to know he was beloved before he entered into the battle. It's true for you. You are beloved before you face any battle. And the battle is always first about belonging. Do you belong to God your Father? Do you belong to Jesus your Redeemer? Do you belong to Holy Spirit your Comforter and Sanctifier? The battle is always about belonging. Every man will face that battle. Every woman will face that battle. The battle is always about belonging. And so the temptation, when we're wrestling with this and we don't know if we belong or if we believe, the temptation is so subtle. Because the temptation is often something within our reach. It was for Jesus. Y'all, let's be honest. We know that Jesus multiplied bread and fish, and he fed thousands upon thousands. We know this. Jesus could turn stones into bread. If he had wanted to, I don't know, would he have blinked his eyes, waved his hands? I don't know how it would have happened, but we know he could have done that. That's why the temptation is so subtle here. Well, what's the issue? The issue is, would Jesus do something independent of the will of his Father? Would he go rogue? Would he go out on his own? And here's what we see right at the beginning of the gospel. We see Jesus who refuses to use his divine power to create a dependent situation between him and the tempter, or between him and humanity. Jesus refuses to become a sort of a first century superhero. He refuses to make decisions on his own, separate from the Father. The temptation is not really about bread here. The temptation is not really about miracles here. The temptation is that Jesus would try to prove himself without trusting in the truth of the Father. Maybe you remember the story of the miners who were trapped below the surface in Chile in 2010. 33 men trapped nearly half a mile underground when a mine collapsed in South America. And for 17 days, no one even knew if they were alive or not. There was no communication. When rescuers finally made contact, they discovered something remarkable about those 33 men. They had organized themselves under the ground. They had organized themselves into a community. They took what little food resources they had and they rationed it out amongst themselves with a long-term plan for survival. These 33 men formed a makeshift church community. They prayed daily together. And they encouraged one another to stay alive. It wasn't in the press of the moment. It wasn't every man for himself. They pledged together. And one of the miners later said in an interview after their rescue, one of the miners said this, "Down there we discovered what really mattered. You can't pretend when you're trapped underground. You either help each other live or you give up entirely. You either help each other live or you give up entirely. The wilderness reveals what you are living on. And the wilderness reveals what you're living for." I'll tell you, most of us, men, I'll speak to men especially, most of us live, we spend our lives trying to prove something. Are we strong enough? Are we successful enough? Can we prove to ourselves or to someone else that we can hang in the right network or the right circle or the right neighborhood? And the devil knows this. He knows it about us and he knows it about Jesus. And that's why that first temptation hones in here. If you'll only just prove it. But instead of trying to prove competence, instead of trying to prove worth or prove identity, what if instead of trying to prove yourself, what if Jesus is just saying, receive yourself? Know that you are my beloved son. Receive your identity from me. Because, friends, it's in the wilderness. You may think the wilderness is going to beat the life out of you, but, friends, when you walk into the wilderness with the power of the Spirit, the wilderness can actually breathe new life into you. As you receive your identity and as you receive the Spirit. Y'all, Jesus knew who he was fighting against. He knew the tempter, but he also knew the weapons that were in his hand and in his heart. And it's here that we can be most clearly instructed by Jesus, because Jesus knew his weapon was the Word of God. Matthew 4:4. Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." It's a quote from Deuteronomy 8:3, a time when Moses is recounting, he is retelling Israel's own story to them. He's reminding them about how desperate life was when they first escaped from Egypt. They were sort of out of the frying pan and into the fire. Things had been bad in slavery in Egypt, but they found themselves hungry and thirsty in the desert. And there was conflict, and many of them simply wanted to pack up and go back. They preferred the predictability of slavery in Egypt to the challenge of living out their new identity as the people of God in the wilderness. And Moses is retelling their story, Deuteronomy 8:3. "You know this, children of Israel. You know that God himself humbled you. He caused you to hunger, and then he fed you with manna." Do you remember manna, that bread that floated down to the ground every day? "He humbled you, he caused you to hunger, and he fed you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known. He did all this to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." Y'all, I have to tell you this. When you read that whole Deuteronomy story, you recognize this time and time again. Israel failed the test. Israel failed the test. He, God humbled them and caused them to hunger, and they decided to feed themselves. Or they wanted to prove their own identity by organizing themselves in a way separate from the heart of God. Israel failed the test in the wilderness, but this is a word of grace. It's a word of reminder, because you don't have to fail the test. But even if you do fail the test, what do you learn from your failure? You learn that you have a chance to depend again and to count on the grace of God. Jesus succeeds where we had failed. Where the tempter puts out the big if, Jesus steps back and says, "Now I'm listening to your if." Jesus lives from a word that had already been spoken over him and a word that had already been spoken into him. This is my son. This is my beloved. With him I am well pleased. Jesus lived from a word that was already spoken. That's the word that just came from heaven. This is my beloved son. Jesus doesn't need to prove anything by performing a miracle. He simply trusts and rests and stands in the truth of a word that has already been given. You see it. It's already right here. It's good. Just in these few verses, Jesus trusts in the Spirit of God. The Spirit led him into the wilderness. Sometimes you say yes, you're trusting the Spirit, and He leads you somewhere. You take a step, and then it's like, oh wait, this isn't like I thought it was going to turn out. This is harder or more complicated. But friend, there's a reminder there. The Spirit of God leads us, and then the Word of God sustains us. The Spirit of God led Jesus, and the Word of God sustained Jesus. The Spirit of God will lead you, and the Word of God will sustain you. Even in the wilderness. Hear this again, friends. The Word was, Jesus was sustained not by something from the distant past. All right, I think we like to live with this idea that Jesus was born in the world. He's fully God, fully man, that He already had like wired in, hardwired in. He knew the Bible like from heart. Did He know the Bible from heart? Or did He know the Bible because He was freshly connected to the Father by the Spirit in every moment? Friends, I think Jesus, when He went to synagogue school, I think He had to learn and memorize the verses just like the other kids did. And He had to take those words and get them just not just in His head, but actually let them be echoing in His heart. Jesus was sustained by a word that was a fresh word, a living word. It was a regular word that He was hearing. Then it wasn't some dust of a distant past religious encounter that He had had. It was a daily word. We've talked about this, right? That's what we do, especially in the Lenten season. We put out the Jesus asking devotion, and we ask you every week, you know, every day, get up, ask that, Lord, what are you asking me today? Jesus, what are you asking me today? A daily look, a daily listen, so that you're prepared, right, for a daily word, a daily conversation with someone else about what God's doing in your life. Because we know that the Spirit of God leads us, and it's the Word of God that sustains us. See, all these great temptations of Jesus are the temptations. It's the temptation for Him to forget who He is, and they are the temptations for us to forget who we really are. To believe that we are what we accomplish, or what our PR is, what other people say about us, how many likes or comments we get on our social media feed. Or we're tempted to believe that I am what I have accumulated around me. But the gospel says, friends, you are the beloved. You are the children of God through Jesus Christ. So don't prove yourself. Receive the gift of yourself from the Father. And if identity comes before performance, then we'll never get the chance to receive. If identity comes before performance, y'all, wilderness will break you. So receive it. Receive it. I can't let St. Patrick's Day pass without a reminder of the man, Patrick himself, right? You'll see, most of y'all, we're already decked out in our green, like, right? We're ready for the whole thing. But let's remember the example of Patrick the man, not just Patrick the party, right? Patrick the man, he was a British Christian who was taken as a slave to Ireland. He wasn't native Irish. He was taken as a slave to Ireland. And there on the hillside, as he's working as a slave shepherd, he counts the stars in the night sky, and he has an encounter, a memory of his faith as a Christian, a faith that he brought with him into slavery. And he prays and he offers himself to the Lord Jesus. And he says, even if I'm here as a slave, I want to be the best slave I can be. And he used those nights out under the stars to commune with the Father. And so when the chance later, he thought God was going to give him freedom. And so a ship comes along and he's rescued. He escapes slavery. And then God, who has this incredible sense of humor, that wilderness could have broken him. It could have crushed his spirit. But when he escapes, God has this sense of humor and says, Patrick, you've been in Ireland all these years. You know these people in and out. Patrick says, oh, do I know? He says, why don't you go back to them? Why don't you go back to them? Not as a slave or a shepherd, but why don't you go back to them as a witness to the grace and mercy of Jesus? He returns, y'all, and that's why we have the party, because he was successful. The Spirit of God was on him. And because he knew people and he knew language and he knew customs and culture, he was able to bring the fullness of the gospel into a place that had been long hardened against the truth of Jesus. The wilderness, friend, the wilderness could have crushed Patrick. But friend, in the wilderness, he knew he was not a slave. He was a child of God. And he came back with that word on his mouth. Y'all, this weekend, had a brief chance on Friday. You know, there was a handful of us from Good Shepherd Savannah who went and served a week in Cuba this past summer. Pastor Rodolfo and Pastor Liuska, husband and wife team. He's not only the pastor of a church in Bayamo, Cuba, but he's the superintendent for 60 churches and 120 missions that are on their way to growing to be churches. Yeah, I wonder, what am I even doing with my life? He's doing all this. And after the hurricane, we had a moment. Patty had a moment, especially with Liuska, his wife. And there are a few of us going back again this summer. And he says, oh, Rodolfo is living for y'all to come back because this last year has been so hard. So hard. Hurricane Melissa that came through this fall. Devastation to the churches in his region. He's traveling almost endlessly, supporting churches and encouraging pastors, distributing supplies, some of which you help make possible. We put a solar cell in one church so that the church could have electricity to help serve the needs of the people. They're now on 72-hour blackouts. Like when we were there, we thought we could get maybe 20 hours and then have a little AC. Now they're on 72 hours. Ask me why I'm going back in June. I don't know. But Yaliuska said this. It's a time of wilderness. It's a time of wilderness. You're reading in the news right now what's going on with politics and power struggles. It's a time of wilderness. But y'all, what I see when I see Liuska, when I see Rodolfo, I see that they're trusting in God's word. God's continuing to speak a word, and they're not proving anything by their service. They're living and serving out of a great sense of belonging to Jesus and a trust that He is working beyond their capacity. Beyond their capacity. Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone. So I look at that title of that book every day, Jesus Asking. So I wonder, what is Jesus asking? Man shall not live by bread alone. I wonder if Jesus is asking today, what are you feeding on? What are you attempting to live on? Is it the news and being up on what's going on everywhere? Is it the social media, the likes and the shares? Is it approval from someone else or performance? You think you can be good enough? Friends, here's real transformation. That's what we're asking this Lent. How can I be transformed? Transformation happens when we feed daily on the Word that God has already spoken. You are my beloved. With you I am well pleased. Friends, that's the invitation this morning. It's not something new every Sunday in Lent. I just want you to stay consistent. This daily Word, if you hadn't already picked that up, a daily Word from God. A daily chance to look at Him, to listen to Him, and to say, Jesus, what are you saying to me today? I want to hear. What are you asking from me today? I want to answer. A daily Word from God, and then a daily Word for God, to speak the Word to someone else. Or maybe you find yourselves needing to speak the Word to your own heart. I love that. David does it in the Psalms. David says, bless the Lord, O my soul. He's like talking to himself. He's like, okay, it's a tough one. He's looking, I don't know if he had a mirror, but he'd be looking in the mirror. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Come on, soul. Let's get up and get going. We got to bless the Lord today. Maybe you need to speak a word for yourself when the pressure builds or that red light flashes, not on your actual dashboard, but on this dashboard. And you need to say again, I am the beloved Son of God. I'm the beloved daughter of God. I belong to Jesus, and Jesus belongs to me. And that may be enough. It's not a magic trick, but just an affirmation of actual truth and letting that truth continue to work its way from your mouth to your head all the way into your heart. If you're in the right place, outside in the mountains, sometimes you can even do this at the seashore. You shout out and then there's an echo, right? There's an echo that comes back again and again and again. And the voice, you can hear your voice lingering, 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 long after the moment has passed. I want us to see this. Jesus walks from His baptism into the wilderness. Jesus walks from His baptism into the wilderness with an echo of a voice. An echo of a voice from heaven. This is my beloved Son. And so when the tempter comes and says it again, if you are the Son of God, Jesus says, wait, no, I know the answer to this one. It's echoing. He didn't have to prove anything. He could live with strength from that word and that word alone. And the same is true for us. The wilderness will come, the pressure will come, the temptation will come, the challenge will come, the loneliness will come, the distraction will come. And so the question is not, is all that real? The question is that voice real that we're hearing? The voice that says, you are the beloved. And it's only in that wilderness that we'll have a revelation of what we're really living on. The wilderness always reveals what you're living on. Friends, as we wrap up this morning, I want to offer you a couple of opportunities. One, you may already know that you're living in this conflict, and you hear the voice of God speaking and affirming your belovedness, but you're in the middle of a trial. And there's another word, competing for that. And we'll have, I think Rudy and Cindy LaMonica are our prayer team for this morning. They'll be here or they'll be here during the final song. They'll be here after the final song. If you want to grab them and have someone just say a prayer for you, a prayer of strength or encouragement or healing or hope. And I want to ask you this question too. What are you living on? Because there may be someone who's gathered there. Maybe you've been to church a time or a long time or a little time. And you know you're not yet living on faith in Christ. You look good. You know the right words. And yet you haven't trusted Christ for salvation. And you know that. You know, I'm here, you know, again, before the service, after the service, you know, during the song or after the song. You know, I was talking with Gary this week. You don't even have to come to the pastor. I think any of these musicians could lead you to faith in Christ if it was an emergency, right? You just find somebody that looks like they belong here, and they can help you take that next step to know that you belong, not in a place, but that you belong to a person, Jesus, who's given his life for you. Friends, let your journey through this wilderness, today's wilderness, let it reveal what you are really living on. And let it be the Word of God, who is Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we love you and we're thankful that you have spoken a word over us. You've spoken a word of salvation. You've spoken a word of healing. You've spoken a word of restoring hope. You're speaking a word even now, a word of reorientation after disorientation. You're speaking a word of priority over distraction. You're speaking a word of holiness and purity where there's been debauchery and deception. So, Father, we want to give you permission to speak over us. And let us hear with clarity what you would speak. And we want to live. We want to live. Not by bread, but we want to live by the word that you are speaking through Jesus and by His Spirit. Amen.